Well, good morning and or good afternoon, depending on when you're listening to this broadcast or podcast. And thanks for joining us today on His Stories podcast and broadcast.
Yeah.
Before we just start with our interview and our testimony today, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank you for being such a good God.
Mm-hmm.
Just be with us, Lord, as we proclaim your goodness, Lord God. And we say it almost sort of jokingly, but Lord, it's our desire to make you famous.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Lord, as we proclaim your goodness and as we lift you high, let all the earth be filled with your glory and your goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Let people know you as a good father who gives good gifts to his children.
Yeah.
And Lord, we thank you. Bless those who hear the testimony that's going to go forth today, Lord, and let them be changed and provoked to be more like you. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Hey. How's it going, Kevin?
Good, Gil. How's your world?
My world is good. Still spinning.
Still, that's not good if it stops. Yeah.
Right.
Kind of flying off.
It's the world is spinning, but then my world is spinning.
Your world is spinning.
It's been good. How are you?
Yeah, you know, it's been a really rich time in my life.
A lot of money?
The Christian rich sense. No, it's God's been teaching me and just sharpening me in so many different ways. So it would take three shows to just describe all that.
Okay.
But we have a guest this morning, so
I'd
love to be able to just introduce her and just be able to. I know God has been refining her and loving on her. I know this. I have had the privilege of being able to I've known you for at least a couple decades.
At least.
If not longer. And
I think I knew you before you were married. I mean, I knew who you were.
Okay.
We went to the same church.
Same church, yeah. So. Well, let me share your name, Becky Wilson. And Becky is in charge of music and various different facets and forms, and at a high school, and also in many different play productions, and then also at in a worship at church where we both attended for quite a while. So I'm going to stop talking and be able to just have Becky. Thank you for being here and being willing to be transparent and share your testimony. Maybe I'll ask you to start out with this. You grew up, and where was that area at? And what's some of the things? When did you first get to know and meet the Lord? I'll throw the mic out at you.
Well, I grew up with parents who graduated from Asbury Seminary, and so my dad was in full-time ministry until 1971. He was a pastor in several different denominations, and was an evangelist for a while, and then taught college for the rest of his life, speech and communication. And he was a great communicator. And I became a Christian in, I believe, April of 1968 at one of my dad's evangelistic meetings. I don't think that's a unique story, especially in the 60s with kids who are in full-time ministry.
Sure.
But I remember thinking, I love Jesus, and here's the altar call, and I don't think I've done what I'm supposed to do yet to make this official.
Yeah.
And so I remember that night. I did love the Lord. I confessed my sins to him, but that experience kind of solidified this was the beginning of a solid track for me.
Yeah.
And I still have that Bible that I was given that evening, and so that's my conversion experience was kind of almost taken for granted at that point. That was something I just needed to do, and I think it solidified where I wanted to go with my life with Christ, but it also made it a little difficult, I think, to really communicate or understand people who didn't grow up in that culture of evangelistic meetings, of a pastor of several well-known denominations, and in fact, Missionary Church was one, which is very prolific in this area, which is why we're here. He came down to teach at Bethel for a while, and that's how I ended up down here. And I went to a Quaker school. I went out to Malone College, which is now Malone University, and to study with a pianist there that was just a marvelous. And when she left for a sabbatical, I came back to South Bend to study with Dr. Jeffrey Jacob at St. Mary's College. So I went to a Quaker school. I graduated from a Catholic school. Yeah. My dad taught Notre Dame briefly, so I had some ties there. And then I have my master's and my teaching certification from Bethel College.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Kind of seen a little bit of what there is.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. And very privileged and honored to go to some just top-notch private schools. And that is just not the experience of a lot of people.
Right.
And
okay.
So a little bit of sheltered caregiving there as well. I met my husband way back in... 8th grade? So I knew his sister
really?
Before.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were.
You married in 8th grade?
No. I met him.
Kentucky.
And I used to think, that kid is so cute. I'd see him walking down the hall and thinking, that's Diane's brother. But, you know, then we dated a little bit in high school. And then the turn of events, when I came back, he saw me in a store, had just broken up with another girl by the same name. And, I'm sure it was on the rebound, but it turned into something much more wonderful.
It was
than
a
that.
Lot of rebound.
It was.
And we're kind of really racing through your life in many ways, but I want to set a foundation because God has really been sharpening you, and you mentioned your husband, Mike. And so I want to, I think this is going to speak to a lot of people, and I don't want to race ahead because I know you've brought in some things as well.
That's okay.
But I'd like to, you know, touch in on a lot of the program where you're able to just share a little bit about some of the things that hit you. I remember one particular meeting when you come in with your husband. It was with the elders at the church.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was hard. But that was the sort of the beginning of something that when you notified us of some of the things that were starting to take place. And maybe if you could trace back some of those things. But
sure,
also,
yeah.
too, I mean, you've got a wonderful family, and there's just some incredible joys as well. So if you could just share your heart on some of those areas.
Well, we were married in 1980, and 1981, Mike joined the Mishawaka Fire Department, and that was just a dream come true for him, and to this day, he sees himself as a firefighter, firefighter, EMT, and that was our life, and we had four kids, very proud of their dad, and he was a great dad. He is a great dad.
Yeah.
He is a great dad. And I'm a musician. I play piano. I do a little bit of writing. I do a little bit of singing, but piano is my love. And so I teach music at a local high school. I've done a lot of musical theater productions, which is my second love is musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
And that's created a lot of challenges, not just in my life, but it did create some challenges for our marriage in the early 90s.
Sure.
And through the 90s, some things were beginning to take shape that would take care of us when all the more difficult things started happening in the early 2000s. And one of those was I was offered a job as a musical theater director, which was a dream come true for me. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, that's when I think I first noticed how important prayer was in your daily walk with the Lord, because I do believe if I had not been daily in prayer, and at some point I was fasting regularly each week, that he kept me from taking that job. And I'm still not sure why, because it was everything I had wanted, but I didn't feel, I knew I was not supposed to take it. And for that one thing, I was obedient. And looking back now, oh my, how God is so good, sometimes to not give us the things that we want, but to give us the things that we need.
Yeah.
And that was one of those things. My husband at the time started showing some signs. We just thought it was midlife crisis, having three teenage boys in the house and a wonderful younger daughter who's just trying to avoid all the mess they would create. And we started having some personality issues and some marriage issues. And I did not trust the Lord like I should have in that time period. And we almost didn't make it as a family. Uh-huh. But we both kept praying. We both kept going to church. We both kept teaching the word to our kids. And you know what? I think that's an encouragement that even when you know you're not in the center of God's will and you're not 100%, what we should be doing as Christians, prayer, constant prayer, is that lifeline, yeah. You know, that God can speak to us and speak to others. And we had people praying for us. And by the grace of God, we got through that time. Uh-huh. And it was a good thing because in 2001, we started out the year in January. I think it was January 2nd. My oldest son announced he was going to be having a child and he wasn't married.
Yeah.
A few months later, my brother suddenly, unexpectedly died in Chicago. And that was quite an ordeal just because of going from states. And he had married a beautiful Christian girl with a very different culture. And it was that was a rough couple of months. And then we had a couple of other deaths in the family. And then September 11th happened. Yeah. On the same day that my boss at the high school I was working at said, I have to have a triple bypass. You need to take over the department for the rest of the semester.
Wow.
And I had had enough training, but I did not have a teaching degree. So we had to do some training and other things. And within 3 weeks, I had shattered my kneecap.
Mm. Wow. Oh, my word.
And I was teaching from a wheelchair. And some other things happened with changes in the school. It was just a very, very difficult year. And I remember sitting with my foot up on a wheelchair just praying hours sometimes each day, praying till I would fall asleep. And my kids were wonderful. My husband was wonderful. The following year, my husband had his first grand mal seizure.
Okay.
And for a lot of people, that is not a good thing. And for him, we weren't sure what that meant. 2 months later, he was on limited duty during this time. He wasn't driving trucks or uh-huh. doing anything that would put anyone's life in danger. The fire department took very good care of him. Uh-huh. His second one, a few months later in 2002, almost killed him. He mm-hmm. did not take in air for well over 3 minutes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's very fit. He's always been an athlete, and I think that's one of the reasons he is still around to talk about
sure.
it. He was later diagnosed with dementia caused by epilepsy, and we have a totally different diagnosis now. He has genetic FTLD, frontal temporal lobar dementia, which basically means the two lobes on the sides in the front of your brain are shrinking, and that affects your rational reasoning, affects your language. Affects your ability to empathize, to understand what's appropriate.
Yeah.
And that is not unique. A lot of people have FTLD. His has got some other things to go with. I'm just thankful that the Lord finally gave us a diagnosis so we could treat it properly as far as diet, as far as schedule, as yeah. far as yeah. Medications, et cetera. So that's kind of a quick view of where we are today, where he is home on disability. And we have four adult kids who have been very helpful in helping me. Three of them are temporarily living in town right now, so that's been helpful. One's in Fort Wayne.
Great.
And we live with a very strange, unusual, unpredictable disease. And that's kind of what we're going to talk a little bit about, how the Lord has helped us get to the attitudes we have about it today and hopefully be an encouragement to someone who's living with
Absolutely.
A disability that the outside world can't really identify with. If someone has a broken leg, if someone can't walk, if someone has some physical things you can see. If someone has mental disabilities, Down syndrome and other things, we're kind of comfortable with that now. We understand how that works. Someone has Alzheimer's, you know. This is a little different in that it's you have to be very careful where you go. You have to be very careful who you put him in contact with. And we're not unique. There's a lot of people that just stay home and disappear mm-hmm. because they don't know what else to do.
And, yeah. and that's so, some of the things we want to talk about yeah. after the break here. Unfortunately, we had come up on a hard
break.
That's
great.
And what we're going to do is just talk to get some folks who will help us sort of pay the bills. We'll come back. And we want to really hear what God's been doing and with you and Mike. So
great.
Let's just take a break with right now.
I'll let you bring it back in.
Okay. Well, we are back with His Stories Broadcast.com, and we have our wonderful guest, Becky Wilson. And you were just talking about different folks who were getting into the area where your husband had grand mal seizures, a couple of them, and the second one almost cost his life. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a very difficult and trying time frame even before that, and so that's where we pick up. And I we're going to probably hit you with a few questions here a little bit as well, but I just wanted to ask you, and you mentioned prayer where all this plays into. From what I most of the women I've been a pastor for a little bit, and I've the one thing that I have seen is that a lot of times, women really love their nest. Would that be an accurate statement?
Yeah.
And the one thing is, though, is it seems like your nest is that has been established has been just completely thrown up into the air. Mm. Would that be a good term for that?
Yeah. Instead of made it with sticks and feathers, now it's made with not sure what.
The glue is kind of coming apart in there. How does that, as a woman, and you mentioned too, your son, and I know your son, he's a great believer in the Lord. And he's going through a trying time himself. You're going through a career change, and now your husband, who is a firefighter, this guy is, as you mentioned, is an athlete. He's kind of a stud, you know, he's going out there and he's saving people, and now he needs to be saved. And so how does all of that, and from a woman's perspective, how does that play, and how did that affect your relationship with Christ?
At the time, it was a lot of uncertainty. After the second grand mal, we got him on a really good regimen of medication, and he actually went back to work. In fact, he has not had a visible or an obvious seizure of any kind in over 12 years.
Nice.
So the medication that deals with that has been very, and we've been very faithful in getting him in those twice a year visits. It used to be four times a year. And and so that part of it, they're not quite as concerned about, at least at this point.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice to have him home a little more. he did a little bit more with the kids because he was on limited duty. He was home at nights again, which normally it was, I'm trying to remember, I think it was out of 6 days he was gone four nights. It's been a while since we had that schedule. And then every couple of weeks he was home for a weekend, you know. So it was good. And actually, when he was finally put on permanent disability in 2008, because it was evident at that time that the ability to make decisions fast enough had deteriorated to the point it was not safe for him to be in that job. And they don't have limited duties. At that time, they did not have limited duties at the department. And so, excuse me, the Lord provided a beautiful place for us to move to, and that would take a whole nother hour, but Kevin knows the miracle behind that story. And looking back, it is good that Mike is not in the middle of a busy, we used to live on a really busy street in Mishawaka, lots of friends, lots of people, That would have been a very near disastrous situation for
us now. Can you describe a little bit what's going on with Mike as far as you mentioned that? You mentioned that you were on a busy street. You're now a little bit more into the country. Yeah. Why is that important? What's the big deal about that?
Mike loves people. Uh-huh. And we went through a time where he would just start going down the street, knocking on doors, talking to people. Uh-huh. I don't know that you ever tried to get in a house. People were always nice because our neighborhood knew us. But in the last 8 years, our neighborhood has totally changed. Yeah. There's totally new people. A lot of those houses were elderly people who have died or moved. And so that, as you can imagine, in this culture today.
Yeah.
Also, we were a block away from a very busy train, 32, 33 trains a day.
Yeah.
Two blocks away from the St. Joseph River. And he loves the water. He loves to go fishing.
Yeah.
We're also very close to the library, and he loves children. He is never inappropriate. But when you go up to a little kid and ask to pick them up and the mom doesn't know you, that is a very And those are the kinds of things that he would do with the gentlest of intentions.
Yeah.
But not a good situation, especially if I'm working and he's home doing normal things that normal people do and then just go do these kinds of things. So he still likes to walk. he doesn't wander. He knows where he's going, why he's going, and why he wants to do it. And since he doesn't drive anymore, every once in a while we take a walk about. nothing serious and not very far. But that's one of the concerns we had with being in town. And
so, Becky, let me ask you this. What because obviously, you know, within, I mean, Christian and non-Christian circles, mental illness and mental disease is not always, not, like you said, it's not obvious. And so how has that been embraced, or maybe not so much embraced?
Good question.
Within Christian circles with mental illness, how has the body of Christ responded to that, and how have you dealt with it in the Christian context?
That's just a wonderful thing to ask, especially if there's somebody who's staying at home and not going to church or being part of groups. My experience in the churches that we have taken Mike to, and I just wish I could name all of them, I've been more embarrassed than they have to deal with it. Christians that I've dealt with have been wonderful. We have people who ask about him. People have offered to help. People have offered to come sit so I could go out for an evening. They've been wonderful. At the same time, I've been very controlling of the situations, and my children have, of where we actually put him. I'll tell you a really quick, funny story. Went to the beach last year. Couldn't get him in the water for quite a while. We finally did, and he just loved it. And we were walking along the beach, and there was a wonderful family, bunch of kids, and they had all these chairs set up along the beach in front of their little umbrella. And so he saw those kids, saw that umbrella, and just went down, sat down. And I wish you could see my expression. The woman's going, holding her hands up and pointing to her husband, not saying a word, which was interesting. She didn't say anything, but you could tell she was on the verge of hysterics. And I was running after him. By the time I got there, you know, the whole family had crowded around him. And I said very gently, he has something that looks very much like early Alzheimer's. I'm so sorry. Oh, you wouldn't believe the change. Oh, he can stay here forever. We love him. No, that's fine. If you want to take a walk, he can stay. We'll take an eye on him, you know. And just beautiful people. And I just at that moment said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting it be those people that had the chair.
Right.
Thank you know, bless that family. Bless their kids, you know. So, you know, we're kind of cautious. But the body has been very embracing. And I'm just so thankful. We would do more if he didn't get so anxious. He likes to be home, and if we're gone for more than a couple of hours, he gets very, very agitated and very verbally upset. So we, you know, we're kind of careful how long we're gone, and it is hard to not be able to go spend the night with him somewhere. Like I just worked at a camp meeting, and they had a place for us. They'd love to have him, but it's not really worth the anxiety it would cause him. I do think he'd just take off and try to walk home.
Yeah.
And it's 180 miles away.
Right. But he would. That's
and Kevin
he
can tell you
yeah,
he would do it. So I've had to just a lot of prayer. He was in the hospital for an extended period of time a year and a half ago, and a lot of prayer in that. Like, Lord, where do you put me in this? Do I quit my job and stay home? Where do we... He had really suffered a downturn. When he has a downturn, which we can notice by less vocabulary and less ability to understand what's going on, those things happen usually overnight, and it's very noticeable. And that one was an extreme one. And I really felt like my life was over. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt, and Kevin can tell you, Rhonda came over and prayed with me a couple of times, and we had trouble getting him out of the hospital. Now looking back, I needed that time. I needed that time to finally accept the fact that this was a permanent situation. Mm-hmm. And what does it mean when a Christian can no longer read the Bible and pray like they did? What does it mean when we no longer have the faculties? And I have to say that when Mike was writing those prayers back in the 90s and the early 2000s, he was writing down prayers during all this time. And then when he was put on disability, he was like almost obsessive, sometimes 4 or 5 hours a day. Mm. And his prayers will read like this: Lord, be with Tony, Maury, Ben, Cassie. Help them to get jobs. Help them to love you. Mm. Lord, be with so-and-so. Lord, be with so-and-so. And everybody, every fireman by name is in that book that he worked with. Every person in our family, and he has a very extended family. His grandparents had 140 real descendants, not including spouses. They are all in that book. Yeah. To this day, Mike reads his prayers. Yeah. Mm. He can't write very well anymore, but he gets out that book and he reads them out loud, sometimes for several hours, sometimes for a few minutes. But it was an investment that that started way back. Yeah. And we thought he was kind of crazy. I still ask the Lord to forgive me for my attitude, for when he would spend all that time writing and writing, sometimes the same prayers over and over again.
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? You know when the woman poured the oil on Jesus?
Mm. Yes.
And they're like, what are you doing? Like, that's a waste of expensive ointment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could look back and go, man, he's spending hours and hours writing in this book. And what Jesus said was, leave her alone. She's doing this for something that in the future that you don't see yet.
Yeah.
And just like now, Mike is able to go through that book and read those prayers. And he's really taking on a place of intercession and interceding for others. And he was doing it at a time when he had the ability to write those prayers. And so sometimes we don't understand why God has us do something in a certain time. It almost seems out of time. It seems like maybe way too lavish of time. Mm. But there's something in us that goes, I have to do this right now. And look at now, he's reading those prayers and reading those prayers and reading those prayers and taking a place of intercession for others. And so sometimes, you know, you may be out there going, man, I don't know why I feel the need to do this right now. Maybe that's why, you know. So it's a really powerful thing when you think about it.
Yeah, and I know some people in the family that still think it's like, you know, it's just a time killer. But God has been gracious to him. I took him to a Messianic rabbi who has gifts of healing and prayer last year. And it was a long drive, and I knew I was going to pay for it coming home because he was not going to be happy about coming home that late. But I just felt the Lord needed that person to pray over him. Mm-hmm. And when we got there, it was a long wait. It was a great evening of prayer and worship and songs. It was just an amazing night. Mm. And we were toward the back. I kept pushing forward. I felt like that woman who wanted to just touch Jesus' garment because I could tell other people needed him right then, and I could tell there were other people that could wait, that they could wait. And Mike was getting more and more antsy, and finally, I was just standing there praying, and one of the deacons, elders, came by and said, I think we need to get you up to the front. I didn't say anything to him. I said, yes, we need to get to the front. And he herded us up there, and we still had to wait, but God was good. It was like time stood still. All of a sudden, Mike just settled down. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, the Lord can heal him. Right. He can heal him. The rabbi can't heal him, but... the Lord can heal him through the rabbi, and I'm supposed to have him here, but I also know something else may happen here. And when he was finally prayed over, and it was a very short prayer, but the rabbi looked right in my eyes. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what he told me. He has this, he has this, he has this. I said, yes. Oh. He prayed over him, and at that moment, there was just almost like an electric spark in my brain. Mm-hmm. In my brain. I mean, I could see it in my head. It was just, but I didn't know what it meant. And so looking weeks, a couple months later, the Lord kept saying, he's sealed, he's sealed. Mm-hmm. He's sealed. Wow. You can be praying for your kids. You can be praying for your kids at school, which I try to do every day for a group. Mm-hmm. You can pray with these. Mike is sealed. He is mine.
Yeah.
And to just take that load. Not that I was worried that he wasn't his, but wondering what that meant, you know, and to just have that. I still don't know what it means. Other than he's the Lord's, and I don't have to worry. I don't have to. We shouldn't be worrying anyway.
Right. Do not
be
anxious. We're saying that we are.
That's a burden.
Unfortunately, we're getting close to that being out of time. But I just like to say it. He is sealed, and mm-hmm. that what a wonderful treasure that is. Why don't we? I hate to end this. I really do, because I think there's so much we haven't even touched. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we just give you praise. We thank you for Becky, and we thank you for Mike. Lord, we thank you that you are a great Father and that you love us. We just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah.